Hey guys, welcome to A Moment with Mimi. I am Mimi. I'm a certified health coach and I specialize in self-care. I'm also a registered nurse. I have 7 years of experience up under my belt. So, you know, I've seen a couple things and been a few places. If this is your first time tuning in, then let me welcome you. This is a health community that I have created to share information for people who are interested in learning about different self-care practices. Self-care is my passion. It is amazing. It is restorative. It is essential. I feel like it's essential if you're going to have a nice, high quality of life. Self-care revolves around pleasing and meeting your own personal needs. And my background in healthcare kind of gives me a leaning towards that. A lot of my self-care practices focus on things that will also improve your health. So it's a double whammy, two for one kind of deal going on right now. Yeah, so welcome. In the previous episodes, I gave an introduction about who I am. We talked about what is good health and how you figure out what type of self-care practices are for you. But basically, take a look at your life, your health, and see what's lacking. Figure out where you have some opportunity for improvement, and that'll be a really great place to start. So I've come up with 10 ways that you can give yourself some self-care. In no particular order, the 10 self-care modalities that I like to talk about are yoga, meditation, exercise, herbs, tinctures, and teas, apps, diet, work-life balance, hair, nails, and makeup, gardening, and writing. Yes, those are the highlights. Those are the things that stand out to me the most. And so those are the things I like to focus on, I like to research, I like to talk about, because they're interesting. So today we're going to talk about the first four: diet, herbs, teas, and tinctures, as well as exercise and yoga. So we're talking about diet first because that is my favorite self-care focus area. My diet is something that I have had to work on over the years. In the past, you know, when I was at my parents' house, of course, you know, I was eating well-balanced meals, getting the proper nutrition, drinking water, you know, colorful fruits and vegetables. But then I moved out, I went to college, I got caught up in the study life and the work life, and my diet suffered because of that. And I started to notice some changes in my body that I didn't like. So, as life would have it, I wound up going to nursing school, and during nursing school, you have to learn about the different systems of the body. And so when it was time to learn about the digestive system, that was my favorite thing to study. I just feel like it is so cool. We really are what we eat. The body is made up of organic and natural elements. The most common are oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, and nitrogen. Those four make up 96% of your whole body. 96%. So that's like more than the majority, obviously. That's a huge chunk. So whatever you're putting in your body should have those four things: oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, and nitrogen. And it's no coincidence that you can get half of that from water. You are made up of about 50 to 70% water, and it is necessary for you to survive. So a healthy diet includes what? Organic elements are food, veggies, fruits, grains, dairy, meat, that's your thing. But you want to look for foods, vegetables, and fruits that are going to replace what you lose through the natural aging process. And those are cells, and your cells are made up of those compounds that we just went through. So you want to make sure, you know, you're getting that in your diet. So yeah, your diet, digestion, it starts when you think about food. Actually, when your mouth starts to water from the thought or, you know, from smelling something, you start to, your mouth gets all juicy because saliva actually chemically breaks down the food while it's in your mouth. Your teeth, when you're chewing, they mechanically break down food. You swallow it, it goes down your esophagus and into your stomach, where you squeeze it and it's introduced to your digestive juices, and it's further broken down. And then it travels to, I think it's the small intestines, like 20 feet of small intestines if you would stretch it out, but it basically squeezes your food to move it along the way while it absorbs what was in your food, because it's been broken down to those basic organic building blocks: carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, whatever else your food is made of, is broken down during the digestive process. So then from your small intestines, it travels to the large, and then it travels down to your anus and out of your rectum. So, yeah, that's how that whole situation works, if you were curious, which you probably weren't, but now you know. So, hey, what you gonna do? Anywho, a proper diet has quite a few benefits. My favorite of those is better sleep. Love me some sleep. Improved gut health, better mood, a decreased risk of heart disease, hypertension, decreased risk of diabetes, weight, sleep apnea, and some types of cancer. So, in case you didn't understand what I was saying, the take-home point is that your diet is super important. Try to eat healthy, colorful fruits and vegetables to go with your meats and all that jazz, and drink plenty of water. So let's talk about the herbs, teas, and tinctures. My second favorite way to do some self-care. Tea, you know, it's just awesome for like even existing. Tea can be used medicinally. It can be used as part of a socialization situation. It can be ingested because it tastes so good. Like, it's been around since forever. It's natural. It's of the earth. And it's potent in some cases. Like, you have to be careful with tea because tea actually can affect you depending on what it is you drink. Chamomile tea, lavender tea, kava kava, St. John's wort, valerian, those types of things really relax you. They're anti-anxiety type teas. And so if you are taking an anti-anxiety pill, you might not want that double, you know, effect on your system. So you need to be careful and mindful of what you're drinking, what you're mixing. What other types of teas are there? Moringa tea is really rich in calcium, so it's like really good if you're trying to get some nutrients, some minerals, or what have you, whatever calcium is. Green tea has antioxidants. You know, there are free radicals that occur for some reason, and antioxidants help neutralize those, so that's a good thing. So, you know, get your tea with antioxidants. And green tea is really popular, so it's widely available. And some of these teas have caffeine, green tea being one. And it's a great substitute for coffee if that's something that you're trying to cut down on. Or if you have heart disease or high blood pressure and you're not supposed to be drinking energy drinks, tea is an alternative that, you know, you should really think about. And it can be a ritual for certain people. That's more along the self-care aspect of tea. It could be something you do every morning to help get your day started, you know, get you feeling good, warm up those organs, warm up that digestive system, get yourself ready for the day. Or you could drink a tea in the morning that reminds you of something really pleasant, and it puts you in a positive frame of mind for the rest of the day. Like, you could use tea for whatever you want. It could be associated with memories. Tea is very versatile. Tinctures and herbs, same thing. Basically, things that you're ingesting to change how you feel that are natural and in plant form can be used for self-care. Exercise. So when I was researching exercise as a form of self-care, I came across a theme, and it was most common for people to mention four types of exercises. Although there is a great variety out there, I'm just going to talk about the most common four that I saw. I don't want this to be too long of an episode. I want to be nice and tight, but I want to give you as much information as possible. So this seemed like the perfect balance. So exercises. There are four common types. The first being aerobic, and that is where you increase your heart rate. The second is strengthening, and your goal there is to build muscle mass. The third is stretching, and the goal of stretching is to increase your flexibility. And fourth is balance. And balance is about getting in touch with your center of gravity and helping to prevent falls and the unfortunate consequences of a fall. So aerobic exercise. We're getting that heart rate up. And that means that you're getting blood to your muscles. And that's a good thing because your muscles need the blood to, you know, function properly. When you exercise, you decrease your risk of heart disease, stroke, diabetes type 2. You also decrease your risk of depression as well as colon and breast cancer. You tend to lift your mood. You reduce inflammation. Your lungs get a workout. You have better circulation. It's a really, really good thing. Ways that you can get aerobic exercise. You can do some brisk walking, you can swim, you can jog, you can cycle, try a dance, or some type of aerobic class at a gym or wherever they may be offered. Second, strength building. Again, strengthening is about building muscle mass. And that's important because you use your muscles to walk, to lift, to stand, to sit, to do just about every movement you need some type of muscle. So when you do strengthening exercises, you are not only stimulating muscle growth, you also stimulate bone growth. You lower your blood sugar, you have better weight control, better balance and posture, you decrease your stress, you decrease back and joint pain. Those are all great things, and it can be really therapeutic to exercise. Some people really enjoy the burn that you get from your muscles growing. Some people like the socialization of the gym, you know, the participation of the classes, the routine. Some people run to clear their minds. Like, exercise can be a form of self-care for any number of reasons. It is such a powerful form, though. Like, it's popular. People talk about exercise all the time, and there's a reason, because it's so good for you. So third, stretching. The goal there is to increase flexibility. When you increase your flexibility, you decrease the amount of cramps that you have, you decrease your pain, you decrease your openness to muscle damage, strains, and falls. It's really important that you warm up with stretching, though. Balance goes with stretching. Both of those are really good for help preventing falls, but they're a little bit different. With balance, you're really focused on your center of gravity. Your ears, muscles, joints, they're all engaged to help you have balance. It combines flexibility and strengthening, and it basically helps you control and stabilize your position. Standing, sitting, wherever it may be. Some ways that you can work on your balance are by doing yoga. which is the next thing, the final thing that I'll be talking about in this episode as a way of self-care is yoga. But it is good for helping you fine-tune your balance. So, yoga. There are a ton of types of yoga, just like exercise. There are countless different types of yoga, so there is something for everyone. Hatha yoga is the introductory class where you get to learn about the history and the different types of yoga. The yoga that I tend to gravitate towards most is Ashtanga. I was introduced to it by a friend. She got certified, you know, to be a yoga instructor, and she held an Ashtanga class, and I went, and I was actually able to do the poses. I was not sure if I would be able to because it's been a while since I've been physically active, but I was, so it was a great surprise. But I also felt the burn. You know, I didn't really know that there was types of yoga that would, like, really work you out. I thought it was more like a passive exercise versus an active one. So that was a pleasant surprise as well. So in the Ashtanga class, you sweat and you engage your muscles and you really, really work your lungs. Like, and you just feel so good. It feels like you're releasing toxins and you're settling your spirit. Yoga is really a combination of mind and body. It is a way to clear up the blockages between the two. And that's why it's such a great form of self-care. In order to live your best life, you should have balance and harmony within. So you can have that with on the outside too. So if you're not having good communication between your mind and your body, how are you going to be in balance? You got to clear that up. And yoga is a great way to do that. Combines breathing and meditation poses. It is beneficial for reducing stress and anxiety, inflammation, fatigue, and chronic pain. Yoga has been shown to improve heart health, mood, quality of sleep, flexibility, strength and balance, and fight depression, relieve migraines, and it also helps to promote healthy eating habits, you know? Like I said, the different types of Ashtanga, Hatha is the introductory type of yoga. That's where you can learn and kind of get a sample and figure out what you think you might be interested in, because what you think you may want and what you actually enjoy doing can be two different things. They can be the same, but you never really know. It's a trial and error type process that you'll have to go through with these self-care modalities, because not everything is for everyone, and this is also an opportunity for us to learn and grow. So don't be surprised if you don't immediately enjoy something. If you're called to a specific type of self-care and you try it in a certain way and it turns out to not be for you, then don't close yourself off to it. Ask questions. Think about what you would enjoy and ask an instructor or a professional, like, what do they think would be a good fit for you? Because people tend to be really, really helpful with stuff like that. There's also restorative yoga, where if your goal is to relax more, you can do that. The research that I did about restorative yoga, a lot of people said that it was more relaxing than taking a nap. And I don't know if I really believe it, but I mean, a lot of people said it, so it has to be true. But I love me a nap. I've never done restorative yoga, so obviously I can't have an informed opinion about it. But the review said that it is just as good as a nap, or even better. So I guess I need to put that in the to-do list. Hot yoga. Hot yoga is yoga where you pose and you're in an environment that's really hot. The goal is to make you sweat to get out those toxins. I think they generally try to keep the temperature between like the mid-90s and the 100, and there's around a 40% humidity, so it's really moist air that you're in. So that's something to think about if you enjoy sweating or if you're looking to do a detox and you want to incorporate some type of exercise, that would be perfect for you. So yeah, that was like a little start, I guess, to the self-care modalities. I hope that something out of those four interested you, but if not, there are six more coming your way in the next episode. So just hang in here with me. We'll find something for you because there is something for everyone with self-care. Oh, it is awesome. It is life-changing and it is as easy or as difficult as you want it to be, or maybe I should say easy or involved, because nothing should really be difficult about self-care. This is really a positive thing. This is voluntary, so it's not like anybody's forcing you to do it, but once you make the choice that you want to have a higher quality of life, deciding to use self-care to do that just makes sense, you know? Why not love and nurture yourself consistently doing healthy, productive things? It just makes sense. Well, at least to me. Anywho, I hope you've enjoyed this episode and I look forward to the next one. Until then.